John chapter 1 and the final part of that chapter, the portion that we read from verse 36 to verse 51, records for us details that occurred at the commencement of the Saviour's public ministry. And in particular, it records for us the calling of the first five of Christ's disciples to follow him. The names of four of those disciples are given. You have Andrew, Simon Peter, Philip, Nathanael, who is also called Bartholomew. And while the fifth disciple isn't named, commentators are in agreement that it is John, the author of this gospel. It is interesting to note as you read those verses how each one of them came to the Lord, the different ways in which they found the Saviour. Two were pointed to Jesus by John the Baptist. He was the preacher, and when he said to two of them, in verse 35 and 6, he pointed at Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God," and those two disciples followed the Saviour. It is believed that those two disciples were indeed Andrew and John. Two of the other disciples were called because there were men who invited them to come to Christ. Andrew went and found Peter and brought Peter to Jesus. Philip found Nathanael and brought him to Jesus. And those men were brought to Christ through others introducing them to the Saviour. And then Philip was directly called by the Lord. He went himself and found him, and without any human assistance, he called Philip to come to himself. But this passage sets forth for us the marks of those early followers of the Lord Jesus. And there's some of them I want to mention just in passing, and then one in particular we're going to focus on this morning. Those early followers sought the Lord. Look at verse 38, where the Lord turns and he speaks to two of them, and he asks them the question in verse 38, "What seek ye?" And the answer was they were seeking Jesus as the Messiah. But that little question that the Savior asked teaches us that you become a follower of Christ when you seek the Lord. Wasn't it Isaiah who gave the exhortation in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near." And John the Baptist had pointed Christ out. He said to these two disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God." And they went and they sought the Savior. And so a disciple of Christ is one, a follower of Christ is one who has sought and found the Lord Jesus Christ to be his Savior. Have you had that experience? Have you had a time in your life when you, in your heart, have sought Christ to be your Savior, the Messiah? That's what makes a man or woman a follower of Christ. These early disciples, their discipleship commenced when they sought the Lord. But you'll notice that they not only sought the Lord, but they were taught by the Lord. Because verse 38 again tells us, they said unto him, when the Lord Jesus asked them, "What are you seeking?" They responded by saying, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master." Now, the word rabbi means master, but to the Jews, in those days, it was used in the context of a teaching master. One who taught them. One who would instruct them. And so, here are two disciples, and they come to the Lord, and they are asking him, as they have sought him, he is going to become their teacher. The Word of God reminds us that when a man or woman comes to Christ for salvation, that they are given a teachable spirit and they place themselves under the yoke of Christ, and he begins to teach them and to instruct them in his ways. Remember what the Lord said when he gave the great gospel invitation in Matthew 11, 28 and 29? He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But it didn't finish there. You see, salvation, while we are saved the moment we come to Christ, yet that is the beginning of our relationship with Christ. And it doesn't end there, because he went on to say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." In other words, the one who comes to Christ for salvation will learn of Christ. He will teach them. He will instruct them in his ways. And they learn of him how they live the Christian life. Now, there are many people today and they want to come to the Lord Jesus. They want to be saved from hell, from fire and from brimstone. And yet they want to do the teaching. They want to tell him how they're going to live their lives and what they're going to do. No, that's not how it works. These early disciples, when they sought the Lord, they acknowledged him as their rabbi, their master, their teacher, and they placed themselves under Christ that he would begin to instruct them and teach them in the way that they should go. And it teaches us that every true Christian has a teachable spirit to be taught the word of God, that they might live in accordance with what Christ desires for his people. He is the teacher. We are the pupils, and we take our instruction from him as to how we live and serve him. These early disciples, they sought the Lord. They were taught by the Lord. And then I want you to notice they dwelt with the Lord, for they asked him the question at the end of verse 38, "Where dwellest thou?" Where are you dwelling? And verse 39, the Savior declares, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. The Lord takes them to the place where he was dwelling, and they spent the rest of the day with him. The 9th hour was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And so they dwelt, they abode with him the rest of that day. And what did he do? I believe he continued to teach them. He continued to instruct them. He continued to minister to them for that day. But here's the point. They dwelt in the presence of the Lord. And a true disciple will want to spend time in the presence of the Lord. We spend time in his presence when we come to worship publicly. We spend time in his presence when privately we open the Bible and it's quiet and we read the word and we listen for his voice. We spend time with him when we close the door of our closet and we bow our heads and we talk to him in prayer. We spend time with him at the means of grace. True disciples will want to spend time. They'll want to, at some stage of the day and the week, just shut the hustle and bustle of life out and spend time in the presence of the Lord. But there's something else these early disciples did. They sought the Lord. They were taught by the Lord. They dwelt with the Lord. Here's the one I want to concentrate on in the time left this morning. They evangelized for the Lord. You see, in verse 40 to 42, Andrew had been with Jesus and he went and he found Peter, his brother, and he told him they'd found the Messiah, which by interpretation is Christ, verse 41. And then Philip, and it's Philip I want to concentrate on this morning, verse 45 and 46, he went and found Nathanael. And he spoke to Nathanael about the Lord. And both Simon Peter and Nathanael became followers of the Lord because there was a personal evangelist who came to them and spoke to them individually and pointed them to the Savior. And they too became followers of the Lord. Matthew Henry commented on this early apostolic practice of personal evangelism, and he said, "Even though the band of disciples was small, it was built up by the personal evangelism and testimony of those who were already converted. Those who had begun to follow Christ went and found it was a brother, it was a friend, and they told them of Jesus, and they became followers of the Lord. And it was by their direct action, playing the role of the personal evangelist, that brought these others to the Lord. And I want to develop that theme this morning for this reason. In 2 weeks' time, we will commence a week of gospel mission and preaching in the town hall. And I believe that if every Christian would take to heart some individual and would pray for them and would seek to speak to them and seek to invite them to the gospel mission, what a time we would have in presenting the gospel to men and women. But the work starts with the work of personal evangelism. And that's what Philip was engaged in there in verse 44 and 45. Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. I wonder, will you take that message to heart? I wonder, in the 2 weeks leading up now to the gospel mission, will you pray, Lord, make me a Philip. Lord, place someone in my heart and lead me to them and give me opportunity to speak to them about the Savior and invite them to come and hear more of the Word at the gospel mission in the town hall. I want us to look at Philip's example in particular this morning, and I want you firstly to notice his passion for Nathanael, or his desire for Nathanael. And I'm emphasizing those words at the start of verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael. And I'm drawing your attention in particular to the word find. It's a verb. And if you can remember far enough back to when you were at school, you will know that a verb is an action word. It's a doing word. It speaks of action and activity. So, well, I'm not going to give you an English lesson this morning, but you can think of many verbs. We could have running or jumping or skipping, and there'll be none of that in this church. Those verbs will leave them for outside the door. But you understand what I'm saying. A verb is a doing word. It speaks of activity. And Philip, he left where he was, and he went to find Nathanael, so that he could speak to him about the Lord. A search was made. And that tells me that he had a deep-seated desire and passion within his heart to go and speak to Nathanael about Jesus, about the gospel, and about what he had just found in Christ. And all that the Lord would give to us, a burden and a passion for the souls of men and women. We might ask the question this morning, and I believe the answer is in the passage. What motivated Philip? What moved Philip? What urged him on? What made the difference in his heart to find Nathanael and to tell him about the Lord? Look at verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. Philip had met with the Savior. Philip had experienced the saving grace, the call of Christ. And he had experienced that saving work within his heart when the Lord Jesus gave him that effectual call to follow him. And Philip did begin to follow him. And what did he find in the Lord? Well, look at what he tells Nathanael in verse 45. We have found him. Now, that tells us something of Philip's heart and his expectation. Philip was looking for the Messiah. He was searching for him. And the Messiah found him. And he said, we've found him. The search is over. And those are the words of a satisfied man. He found the one who satisfied his needs. He found the one who had forgiven his sin. He found the one who had saved his soul. He found the one of whom Moses and the prophets had spoken would come into the world, and he was satisfied. And because he had experienced the forgiving power and grace of Jesus Christ, and he found the one that was prophesied, the Messiah, he wanted Nathanael to know all about it. But I bring you back to the thought of this, that it was meeting with Christ himself and experiencing the saving grace of Christ that caused him to follow Jesus as the Redeemer and Messiah, that moved Philip to go and tell Nathanael about the Savior. And I say to you, dear Christian, this morning, the fact that you have been saved by God's grace and that wonderful change has taken place in your life so that you're a new creature in him and you're following the Lord. You should be satisfied in him. Your sins are forgiven. They've been washed away. I tell you, that should move us. What we've experienced, we should want others to experience too. It was the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and he was speaking in the context of persuading men. For he said in verse 11, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And he's speaking about persuading men to come to Christ. That's what Philip is doing to Nathanael. But in verse 14, he went on to say, the love of Christ constraineth us. In other words, Paul had experienced the love of God in his soul. And on the Damascus Road, he'd been stopped on his wild career to hell, though he had religion till it was coming out of his ears. He was stopped on the wild career to hell, and the Lord turned him about and saved him. And the love of Christ was shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, that moved him to enter into an engagement with men to persuade them to get right with God. I wonder, dear friend, dear child of God, have we that passion in our hearts because of what we have experienced? We want to be a witness to others and find others to tell them who the Lord Jesus is and what he can do. Oh, that was what motivated Philip to find Nathanael. But consider the man that he went to find. Let's consider Nathanael for a moment. I wonder, can we ask the question, why did Philip go to find Nathanael? I believe the answer is found when we look at the list of apostolic names. Just turn back for a moment to Luke chapter 6. And the verse 14. Giving us the list of names of the apostles or disciples, and it tells us he chose 12, verse 13, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, and then you'll notice Philip and Bartholomew. Now Bartholomew is Nathanael. He's also known by the name Bartholomew. You'll notice that Philip and Nathanael or Bartholomew, their name is together. And I'm not going to turn back to Matthew chapter 10 as well. But if you go to that place where you have the list of the apostles, look, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 3, you will discover that Philip's name is mentioned alongside Nathanael. And when you come to John 1, you as you read this passage, you understand they knew each other. Philip didn't go to Nathanael as a stranger. It's very evident that Nathanael and him had a friendship. And the fact that their names are given beside each other in the list of the apostles seems to confirm that fact. There was a personal association and friendship there between Philip and Nathanael. And the reason why we make that point and stress it to you is because Philip
He began by seeking out his own friends, his acquaintances, those whom he knew personally. You see, the Lord Jesus gave his apostles the Great Commission in Matthew 16 and 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. But when he saved the demonic of Gadara in Mark chapter 5, he told him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And you see, the principle is this, that we need to start with our friends and our acquaintances and our family members. And that's the passion that Philip had after he got saved, that his friends and his close associates, Nathaniel, that he would come to know the Lord as well. It has rightly been said, we will never win the world for Christ if we don't first have a burden for our nearest and our dearest, and if we don't seek to win them to the Lord as well. I wonder, in the weeks that are ahead, I wonder even today, would you pray that prayer? Lord, put some individual, some friend, some acquaintance, some relative on my heart. Help me to pray for them and put them on my heart that I will seek to speak to them about their soul and invite them to come and to hear the gospel. That was Philip's passion. He had a passion for his friend Nathaniel, that he would hear the gospel message. It's the passion the Apostle Paul had when he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And oh, that we would have that desire and passion as well to do the work of the personal evangelist. But I want you to notice then, secondly, Philip's proclamation to Nathaniel. Look at verse 45. Philip findeth Nathaniel, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Do you notice that Philip commences with the scriptures? We have found him of whom Moses in the law and prophets did write. As you read the New Testament, you discover that when folk were doing the work of personal evangelism, they at times used different approaches. I think the best examples to give are in the life of Christ. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to the Lord, and he told the Lord that he knew he was a teacher sent from God. And the Lord just cut through all that. And he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he spoke directly about the scriptures. And he said, you need to be born again. In John chapter 4, you have the incident of the woman of the well coming to the Lord. She was a Samaritan. And she didn't just have the same knowledge of the Old Testament that Nicodemus would have had. And so the Lord speaks to her about the water. She gave him water to drink from the well. And he said, you know, the water that I give, if a man or woman shall drink it, they'll never thirst again. And she was intrigued. And she asked him what he meant. And the Lord was able then to describe that he was speaking about eternal life. And he explained to her then that he was the Messiah, and that he could give eternal life that would satisfy the soul. But his approach with the woman at the well was slightly different from that of Nicodemus. With Nicodemus, he was direct. With the woman at the well, he gave an illustration, and then he brought the gospel in via that illustration. But here, Philip is using the direct approach, for he knows that Nathaniel knows the scriptures. Particularly in our conversing with men and women about the need of their soul, whether we approach them directly about what the Bible teaches because they've been brought up to know it and understand it in their mind, or whether it's someone who has less knowledge of the Bible and we try to illustrate it in some different way, yet we need to bring them to the scriptures, for it's the scriptures which we're seeking to proclaim that present Christ. The subject or the source of his proclamation
was the Scriptures. And men and women, we are trying, and what we are aiming to do in evangelizing the lost is to have them understand the Scriptures. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, he said this: "I have never seen a useful Christian yet who was not a student of the Word of God." You know, if we are going to speak to others about the Bible and about Christ from the Scriptures, then we need to know the Scriptures ourselves. But as we speak to people, we should be bringing them to the Scriptures. Then I want you to notice not only the source of his conversation, but the subject. For he said, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and prophets did write, Jesus Christ." And when we speak about the Scriptures point us to Christ. And that's where we want to bring men and women to. Philip knew that Nathaniel knew the Bible. He knew the Old Testament. For he says to Philip, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Is there a prophet that arises out of Nazareth? Is that where the Messiah is to come forth from?" He knew the Bible. My friend, it wasn't simply a knowledge of God's Word Nathaniel needed. It was the Christ of the Bible that Nathaniel needed. And therefore, as Philip spoke to him about the Scriptures, he highlighted that the Scriptures point to the Messiah, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Christ, and he is the one that you need. And as we seek to evangelize the lost, listen, we don't want to bring them to a creed. We don't want to proselytize them as such into our way of thinking on minor points of doctrine. No, as far as the unconverted are concerned, we want to bring them to Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, "We preach Christ and him crucified, for it's Christ that saves. It's Christ that meets the need of the heart. It's Christ that takes away the sinner's sin. It's Christ that meets their need." And so he brings them to Christ. And in evangelizing the lost, yes, we want to go armed with the Scriptures. We want to reason from the Scriptures. We want to show them that the Bible speaks about Jesus the Messiah. He's the Lamb of God who died on Calvary to take away our sin. That's the message. A very simple, straightforward message of the personal evangelist in aiming to have men and women come to know the Lord. But I want you to consider in the third place this morning, not only Philip's passion and Philip's proclamation, I want you to consider Philip's persistence with Nathaniel. Nathaniel, verse 46, said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" You'll notice there, Nathaniel was a skeptic. He was a genuine skeptic, for while he believed the Messiah would come, he simply did not think that he would come out of Nazareth. He's questioning. He's questioning what Philip said unto him, that Jesus is the Messiah. And furthermore, Philip didn't really have an answer for that question. He couldn't explain how the Messiah would come from Nazareth. And of course, we know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he was brought up in Nazareth, fulfilling the prophecy about those regions, those coastal regions, seeing great light. But all Philip could say was, "Come and see." You know, I would say to you, as you seek to do the work of the personal evangelist, don't be put off when people question you and they appear to be skeptical. They appear to doubt what you're saying to be true. or they show no interest in the things that you are speaking to them about. For Philip found that. Nathanael was skeptical, and all he could say was, come and see. And I think because of that friendship and because of that association, he came with Philip. There you will see it. In verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. Nathanael was willing to come with Philip. And isn't it true that sometimes we feel so inadequate? We feel when we speak to a loved one, a brother, a sister, maybe it's a husband or a wife, maybe it's a child, a son or a daughter, maybe it's a friend we've known for many years, and we speak to them about their soul, and we just don't seem to be getting anywhere. And we can be so cast down and discouraged. All Philip could say, not being able to answer how the Messiah would come out of Nazareth, he said, look, come and see him. Come and meet him yourself. Come and hear more. And Nathanael, because of his friendship, and I'm saying it would appear to be that way, because of his friendship with Philip, he accompanied him, and Jesus saw him coming. And the Lord spoke directly to Nathanael, told him how he saw him under the fig tree. And Nathanael's heart was open, and he made that confession. Verse 49, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And because Philip persisted and got him to the place where Jesus was, the Lord spoke directly to him and saved his soul and made him an apostle. And I want to encourage every child of God, don't be put off. When you face discouragements, when you're rebuffed by loved ones, maybe even you'll ask them, come and hear more. You want to get them to the place where Jesus is, to the house of God. And that even proves difficult. Don't be put off. Just as the Lord gives you opportunity, as Philip did, persist in prayer. Persist when the opportunity arises. Would you not come and hear more of the gospel? I maybe don't have all the answers, but the answers are in the book. Come and hear the preaching of the word. And when Philip persisted, Nathanael was converted, and he became one of the apostolic band. The work and the marks and the characteristics of the early disciples, they sought the Lord. They were taught by the Lord. They dwelt with the Lord, and they evangelized for the Lord. May those marks be about our lives as God's children, and particularly over the next 2 weeks. In fact, it will be 3 weeks, for the mission runs for the week. Would you pray, Lord, put some individual in my heart. Give me an opportunity to speak to them. And may they come to the place where Jesus is. May they hear his voice and his word. May they be converted. May we seek to do the work of the personal evangelist to the glory of God and the furtherance of his kingdom.